Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach Gimel. We begin about 12 lines from the top with the words, V'kol Heicha D'Kosav Kol Ribuyahu, and we'll explain what that means in a moment. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Joel Katz. All the shots we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. And of course, we continue and will continuously learn for the safety of Tzal, for the success of Tzal, bringing back the Chatufim, having no more Korbanos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yirachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yenachem, as Kla Yisrael. And there should be Shalom Yisrael throughout the world. Okay, so yesterday, we won't go through the whole discussion, but we brought down that there was a klal upratu klal, and that's how we were darshing out which things are included in kefel, the double punishment that a ganav has to pay, and which things are not included. And then we had said, but there was no way to learn out through that methodology the din that ofos that are not kosher, non-kosher birds, if you were to steal somebody's non-kosher bird, that there also would be a din of kefil in regards to non-kosher birds. And therefore, we concluded and said, the al-kol dvar pesha, so the kol there is a ribuy. And the word kol is going to be marba everything. Now, exactly how that works, I just left it simple, that the word kol is coming to be marba that. There are those that suggest that it knocks apart the entire klal upratu klal and turns it into a ribuy miut ribuy, and that's how we come to include the non-kosher birds as well in this din. In any event, the word kol is a ribuy. It comes to be marbe something in addition. So the Gemara now questions, again, 12 lines from the top, samach gimel omen aleph. Really? Wherever the Torah writes the word kol, the kol, hecha, the kosav, kol, ribuyahu, it means that it is a ribuy. So the Gemara questions and says, we have a famous klal, upratu klal, in regards to Maiser Sheni. What are you allowed to purchase with your Maiser Sheni funds in Yerushalayim? So hogabi Maiser Sheni, the pasuk tells us, v'nosata hakesef bechol, that would be the word kol that we're going to be talking about, bechol asher ta'ave nafshecha. So that's the klal, baboke, babakor, uvatzon, uvayayin, uvashechor. That's going to be the prat. And then v'chol, again the word v'chol, asher tisholcha nashecha. So that's going to be the second klal. So this will be a klal upratu klal. But if you're telling me that the word kol is a ribuy, so then we should darshan it with either the ribuy miut ribuy system or it should be marba something else. And what is it being marba over there? That's the Gemara's question outside. Now let's look at it inside. So v'chol gabi ma'isa dichsiv kol, it says the word kol, and nevertheless, v'chol darshin alei b'klal uprat. We darshan in the klal uprat methodology and not the ribuy miut ribuy methodology, which is a little bit more expansive, or just by adding on the word kol to come to be marba something else. The Tanya, because the Braisa tells us, when we dash in this passage, it says, "V'nosata kesef bechol asher ta'ave nafshicha." That's the cloud. Anything that you want to use your ma'aser sheni money for, you're allowed to use it for to purchase things in Yerushalayim. But then it tells us the prat ba'bakar uvatzon. That means the cattle, and the tzon means the sheep and the goats. Ubayayin with wine. Ubashechor with other types of beer or alcoholic types of beverages. That's the prat saying only for those things. And then it says uvechol asher tishalcha nafshicha. That's another generalization. Anything that you want, chazav v'chlal. So therefore, klal upratu klal, you have to do an elikin uprat. The rule of klal upratu klal is that it is expansive, but not as expansive as the ribuy miut ribuy system, but it means anything that has the same common denominator as the pratim that are given, anything that has those characteristics is also included in the din of you're allowed to use ma'aser sheni funds to purchase them. So what is the prat? What's the common denominator? Maha prat, this prat that we have, all of these items are mefurash pre-mipri. They all come from a prior pre. So the bakar and the tzon, that's easy. They come from a prior cow or goat or a sheep. And the ayin shechor, that comes from the seeds. So they come from the prior entity of wine and shechar. So too, gidule karka, they all have a status of gidule karka. They all rely upon the ground for their sustenance. So the here, the yayin and shechar is easier, and the bakar and so on also, they're sustained from the ground. So therefore, that's the common denominator in this prat. So therefore, the klal upratu klal methodology teaches us anything that has those two characteristics, pre-mi-pre, ugidule karka. I've called pre-mi-pre, the gidule karka is included that you'll have to go purchase it with my shesheni. But if you're telling me the call is marbe, much more. So then here we have the word kol. So how can you tell me kol obvious is a ribuy? So tomorrow we'll give a couple of tirutzim. The first one is Amre, bikol is different than kol. So in Ma'aser Sheni it says bikol asher te'ave nafshecha. And therefore, Bechol is not a Riboy. It's just a regular Klal Pratu Klal. As opposed to, in regards to the Kefil, it says, Al Kol Devar Pesha. So therefore, the word Kol there is different than the word Bechol. And therefore, that could be the simple answer why, in regards to Kefil, we can use the Riboy methodology or this idea that Kol is coming to be Marba, even the Ophos of birds that are not kosher, included in the din of kefil, whereas in regards to Maisa Sheni, we don't have the word bikol asher ta'ave nafshecha to be a riboy. It is just the regular klal pratu klal. That's teretz number one. Yibai Seima, teretz number two is no. In general, kol is also klaluhu. Even by the din of kefil, kol would be a klal pratu klal. Aye. However, miyu, kol the hocha ribiyu. But this is the exception to the rule in regards to kefil. Why? Because let's check it out. Michte, let's look at this and analyze it. Kisiv mei karo klal pratu klal. We have a different pasuk in regards to kefil that is a regular klal pratu klal. Not the pasuk al kol dvar pesha, but instead we have a different pasuk. Now, I will point out in many of the Gemaras, including the Art School Gemara, they have the Oz Beis listed in the Torah Or as the wrong pasuk. They bring down pasuk chabezi mishpatim, perik chabezi mishpatim, pasuk tes, and it really should be pasuk Vav. And if you look at the new Oz Hada Gemaras and other Gemaras, so they quote the right pasuk. So the real pasuk should be over here, ki itain ish el reyehu, kesef ochelim lishmor, vigunav mi besu ish, imotzeakanov yishalim shnoyim. So that's the pasuk that we're going to darshan as the original klalu prat, right? This is pasuk Vav. It comes earlier than the pasuk of Al Kol Dvar Pesha, which is Perich Haveis pasuk Ches. So therefore, this is the first klal u'pratu klal that we have for kefil, and the pasuk is darshened in the following way. So ksiv meyikara klal u'pratu klal, this earlier pasuk of d'ksiv ki tein ish el re'ehu. Then this is the klal, and then it says kesef o kelim. That is the prat, and then lishmar. Again, it says ki tein ish re'ehu kesef o kelim lishmar. So hadar klal. So that's the klal pratu klal, and therefore that's how we learn out kefil, and it has to be anything that is like kesef o kelim. The isoka daitoch hai al kol dvar pesha nami lichlalu prat hu diosa. And if you're telling me then pasuk ches al kol dvar pesha is also teaching us klal pratu klal, what do I need two? Nichtov rachbana lani prote gabi hech klal prat. So then just combine it. Instead of having two separate psukim, perichav beis pasuk vav and perichav beis pasuk ches, instead of having two separate psukim, and they're both klal prats teaching me the din of kefil, so just combine them all together. And therefore, that Torah didn't do that. So al kol dvar pesha lomeli. What do I need pasuk ches? What's the purpose of that klal pratu klal in pasuk ches? Ah! In this situation, it's a ribuyu, shma mino ribuyuhu. And that's why pasuk ches, al kol dvar pesha, is used as a ribuy. But in general, kol is not a ribuy. That's the second teretz that we give for who says that the word kol is a ribuy. It's only in this situation where we already had a klal upratu klal in pasuk vav that we go and say that the pasuk ches, kol is a ribuy. Where it says, well, if that's true, hasha, the amas kol is a ribuyuhu, so kol hani prati lamali. So then, if al kol dvar pesha is just a riboy, so what's the purpose of having the shor, chamor, se, o salma in pasuk ches, in al kol dvar pesha? What is that pratim there? If the word kol is barba everything, so what do we need all those pratim for? So Mori says, no, you need them all. You need both pasuk vav to teach me the general kol prat here, but then you need pasuk ches to teach me these additional specific things. So chad lemute karka. One of the times that it says, let's say, shor, chamor, oseh, so the shor is needed us to go and teach us that the din of karka doesn't have kefil, like we learned the other day, that it is only things that are metaltali, but not karka. So shor comes to teach us over here only something that is metaltali and not karka. The second prat, chamor, so that is coming to exclude avodim, v'chadim muti avodim, because avodim, we said, are like karka. Sometimes they're like metaltli, so you need a special pasuk to tell us, no, there's no din of kefil by avodim. And then, chamor, oshor, oseh, the third one, v'chad, l'mutei shtaros, that came to tell us that it has to have intrinsic value, guf, o, momon, and not that it represents something as a shtar, but the shtar itself is a piece of paper, has less than a shavu pruta. So that's what you need the three animals for, shor, chamor, oseh. nu salma. What do we need the word salma, a garment, for? That's lemute davar she'eno misuyam. Rashi explains the last Rashi on the daf, and he says she'en la ba'alim simin bo shepotu mikefil. So in this situation, if the ba'alim don't have a simin on it, let's say it's an aveda, and there is no simin on it, so then there's no chiyuv to return it. So that comes to exclude that from the din of kefil. And then it tells us, I'll call Aveda. It also says in the Pasuk, Shor Hamar, Seh Osama, O call Aveda. I'll call Aveda. Lichid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. That you need for the din of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and they said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We need the words, I'll call Aveda, to come to teach us. And we're going to turn to Samach Gimel Omid Beis in a second. Hatoein Tainas Ganov Ba'Aveda. We turn to Samach Gimel Omid Beis. So that comes to teach us that if a person goes and claims that this lost article that he found was then subsequently stolen from him, and he really wasn't, so then that comes to teach us, when it says, I'll call Aveda, that comes to teach us, Ba'aveda, that deals with an Aveda, that Mishalim Tashlume Kefel, he does have to pay, because the Pasuk says, I'll call Aveda Asher Yomar. So that coming to then be including the din of Toin Tainas Ganav by a person who finds something, that is included in the din of Kefel. Okay, so now we've squared away the understanding of the psukim of Al Kol Dvar Pesha, and the Gemara now continues and says, Tanan Hasam. We learned in the Mishnah later in the Masechta, this on Daf Kuv Ches Omud Beis, and it says over there, Hechon Pikdoni. If a person says to the Shomer Chinam that he gave his Pikodon to, so Ruvain tells Shimon, do me a favor, watch my vase. So he then goes to Shimon later on and says, where's my vase? And Shimon says, Omalei Ovat, I'm sorry, I lost it, but not through Pshia. He lost it. It was watched properly, and he goes to check, and it's not there. So it's lost, but it's not Pshia. So therefore, he's a Shomer Chinam, and he's going to be Potter. So the only way that you're Potter is when he swears that it was in fact stolen. He has to swear, and if he swears, then he's going to be Potter. So Mashbi Acho Ani. Reuven says to Shimon, hey, swear to me that my vase was lost, and then you don't have to pay me. So the Omer Amen. So Shimon says Amen, which is essentially saying, yes, a Shvua. The saying of Amen to this has the status of a Shvua. Now, therefore, Shimon doesn't have to pay. He's a Shomer Chinam. The Pikadon was not lost through Pshia. He claimed it was lost through just being lost, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. But then along come witnesses, the Edim come along and say, hey, you ate it up, whatever it was, the vase, you got rid of it, you sold it, you broke it, you ate it if it was a food. So now, in this situation, does he pay kefil or not? So the answer is no. Because as we'll see, Rashi points out, you only pay kefil if it was a taina of gonav. Here it was a taina of ovad. So therefore, only mishalim zakeren, he doesn't have to go and pay kefil, but he has to return the principal. Because he said, amalei ovad. As we'll see, if he had said, amalei gonav, and it's turned out that he was the gonav, and not that someone else stole it, and he swore falsely, so then in this situation, he's going to have to pay kefil. So here, Mishalim justice a kerem because he was ta'an ovad. If he admits, hold al piatzmo, he swore falsely, and he said afterwards he couldn't sleep, he had charata, and he said, I swore falsely. So in that situation, he still doesn't pay kefil, he has to pay the kerem, Mishalim kerem, but then you have a shuas shav. So in this situation, he made a false shvua, so then there's an additional penalty that the Torah prescribes, and that is that he has to pay, in addition to the keren, he has to pay a chomesh of the keren. So let's say it was a $100 item, so he'll have to pay $25 in addition to the $100, because that is 25 from the total amount, so it's 25 from 125. That's why it's called the fifth. It's a fourth from the inside, as we said many times. A fourth of 100 is 25, and then when you add that on to the keren, so now he pays 125, so the chomesh, the 25, that's what he paid, is a fifth, because that's the way you calculate it. So that's he has to pay the keren and the chomesh, and he also has to bring a korban asham. So he, in this situation, because he admitted that he swore falsely, so in order to get a kapara, so he has to go and pay not only back the keren, but he also has to pay a chomesh extra, the fourth from the inside, a fifth from the outside, plus has to bring a korban osham. Okay, that's the first scenario, where he says, amalei ovad, and either he didn't admit it and Adim came, so then he somehow gets off easily, and he only has to pay the keren. If he admits it, then he has to pay not only the keren, but he has to pay a chomesh and bring a korban osham. Fine. The Mishnah continues there and says, if the Reuven who had given his vase over to Shimon said, Hechon Pikdoni, and Shimon says, Omalo Nignav, it was stolen. Oh, So then Reuven says to Shimon, swear to me, Mashbi Achlani, you're Shomachinam, you're going to be Potter for Geneva. I want you to swear to me. It's only when you swear that you don't have to pay the liability. Now, so Shimon says, yes, I swear, I agree, amen. And then, you have Edom come along and say, hey, it wasn't stolen by somebody else, you have it, it's in your basement, you stole it. Now, when he has the taina, as Rashi points out, of Toan, the taina's gonav, in this situation, he has to go and pay the kefil. So, as Rashi points out, we're dealing here with Toein Tainas Ganav, so that's Bibala Baisha, Toein Tainas Ganav, Bipi Kodum's there. So this is based upon the Pasuk that Vugunab Mibesu Ish, so it was stolen from your house. In other words, in this situation, you pay Kefil. If before Edom come, you say, listen, I feel terrible, I swore falsely, so then it's just like before, the swearing falsely doesn't make a difference whether it was Ovad or Ganav. In this situation, you pay the Karen, Mishalim Karen, and you have to add on the Chomesh, in my case, the $100, you have to add on $25, the fourth from the inside, the fifth from the outside, and you have to bring a carbon Ashram as well. Okay, for a false shvua. Okay, now, this Mishnah had two parts to it. The first part was the cases of where he said Amalei Ovad, and then he swore falsely, and he either had Edom come, or he admitted. And the second part was the exact same scenario, where he swore falsely that it was stolen, and then Edom come, or he admits it on his own. So the admitting on his own is the same in both cases. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Ovad or Gonav. The difference is, however, between Ovad and Ganav in terms of paying kefil. For Ovad, you don't pay kefil if Edom come, and for Ganav, you do pay kefil. So this is called Tainas Ganav. So, Ktoni Mia, Betoin Tainas Ganav. In the second part of the Mishnah, it said, in the case where you are Toin Tainas Ganav, the Mishalim Teshul Mekefil. But in the first part of the Mishnah, I will Betoin Tainas Ovad, Lo Mishalim Teshul Mekefil. So that's the simple understanding over here of the Mishnah. Ba'afilu toein tainas ganav. And even in the second part of the Mishnah, we are toein tainas ganav, it's only because he made a shvua. B'shvua, hu d'mashalim teshul b'kefel. Avo shalo b'shvua. If he didn't swear falsely, so then there is also no din of b'shalo b'shvua, eino mashalim teshul b'kefel. There is no din of teshul b'kefel. Okay, that's the understanding of this Mishnah on Kuv Ches Amud Beis. Now, Mora asks, how do we know these dinim that we just said in the Mishnah? And it's all based upon Pesukim. So you know how immediately the Tana Rabbana. Where do we know this from? In the following brayse that teaches us the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Im Yimotzei Haganov Yishalim Shloim. Now, this is the end of the Pasuk Vav that we were just talking about before. Ki Tein Ish El Reyehu Kesef Ochelim Lishmor V'gunav Mibeso Ish. And it says, Im Yimotzei Haganov Yishalim Shloim. How do we understand the words Im Yimotzei Haganov? So, Gemara says that the second part of the Mishnah understands that Im Yimotzei Haganav means Bitoin Tainas Ganav Hakosu Medaber. And we look in Rashi, Dibro Maskel Bitoin Tainas Ganav. It's right next to the Gemara with the start of the wider lines. And it says, this is that Bala Bais. I've read this Rashi before, but Bala Bais Shetoin Tainas Ganav Bipikodon. It was stolen from the person's house. Meaning the pikadon came into your possession, it was given to you, and then you claim it was stolen from you. The way to understand the pasuk is, so he tainas vigunam mibeishish, he says it was stolen from me, and therefore I'm potter. So then it says, im yimotzei shehu haganov. That's the pasuk says, Imiwatsi Haganav. So we darshan it as if it turns out that this Shomer Chinam on the Pikadom is the Ganav himself. In that situation, Yimotzi Shuhu Ganav, then Yishalim Shloim. That's where you learn it out from. That's the din. So the more questions this. Is that really the way you understand the pasuk? Betoin Tanis Ganav, Akosu Bedaber? Maybe not. At Omer Betoin Tanis Ganav. You're telling me that it's talking about the way we just described it, that the person was given the Pikadom. He swore falsely that it was stolen when it really wasn't. He was the Ganav. Is that the way you're dashing the Pasuk? At Omer Betoin Tainas Ganav. Or maybe not. Oh, Eino Ela Beganav Atzmo. Maybe the Pasuk is talking about, like, what most of us would have read it on our own. It says, Im Yimotzei Haganav, if you find out the guy that stole it, so then that guy, the real Ganav, Yishalim Shloim, who says it's the Shomer Chinam over here? Who says it's the one who's watching this Pikadon, that he's the Ganav? The simple reading of the Pasuk seems to imply that if you then find the real Ganav, he, the real Ganav, has to pay Shnayim. Oh, wait, the Ganav Atzmo. So the Gemara says, no. Kishomer, the next Pasuk says, Pasuk Zayin, Im lo yimotzei haganav, v'nikra b'alabayis halolkim, im lo shalach yodo, im lechas re'eyu. So the second pasuk Zayin here teaches us Kishomer im lo yimotzi haganov. That is also talking about b'toein tainas ganov hakosu b'daber, and therefore the combination of darshing im yimotzi haganov yishalim shnayim and im lo yimotzi haganov. That teaches us they're both talking about toein tainas ganov. That's the first brisa that we have over here that teaches us that they're both talking about the same scenario, that this shomer chinam, the one who's watching the pikadon, so it turns out that he's the ganav, he pays kefil. If it turns out that he's not the ganav, he swore correctly, and he has to swear that he didn't steal it, and in fact somebody else stole it. Im lo yimatzei ganav, if you don't find out that he's the ganav, so then the nikra b'al habayis elokim, he has to go to the Beis Din and swear that lo shalach yadov b'melech, he had nothing to do with this. So both the first brisa that we have over here explains the way that we know that it's toin tainas ganav is because of the two psukim, pasuk vav and pasuk zayin. Pasuk vav imi motzi ganav yishalim shnoim, and pasuk zayin im loy motzi ganav, then he doesn't have to pay kefil. We have another brisa that learns it differently. Tanya idach, we have another brisa that says the first pasuk vav we darshin imi motzi ganav beganav atzmo hakosav v'dabe. Here it is that no, if it turns out that this one who was watching the Bikadom was correct, and he said somebody stole it. And then we find out that there's this other Ganav, and we find the Ganav. So then, that other Ganav, Imimatsiya Ganav, we find the real Ganav over here, not the one who was watching it. He was watching it properly, but it was stolen. And you find the real Ganav, so the real Ganav has to pay Yishalim Shnoim. The guy's not lying, he swore correctly. That's Pasuk Vav. Beganav Atzmo Kosu B'daber. More questions. It says, "Ato omer beganav atzmo." Oh, and well, with 20 tainas ganav. But why don't you learn it the way the first brisa learned it? That it's talking about 20 tainas ganav. So the Gemara says, "No," because he then darshins the second brisa, darshins pasuk zayin kish omer im lo yimatzi ganav. That comes to teach us that it turns out that the one who was watching the bikadom was not the ganav. But there's an implication there. Harehu toin tainas ganav amur. And in that situation, if it turns out that he wasn't the ganav, so then he doesn't have to pay kefil. Implication being, if he was the ganav, then he would have to pay kefil with the toin tainis ganav. So the second brisa just uses pasuk zayin imimotzi ganav. He uses to teach us that they find the real ganav, and only pasuk zayin imloimotzi ganav. He comes to teach us his din of toin tainis ganav, and the person who's watching the kadam really was the ganav himself. He swore falsely, then he has to pay kefil. So, according to the second brisa, you only need pasuk zayin to tell us the din. Hamani mekayim imotzei ganav. What do you need the first pasuk vav for? So that's beganav atzma kosu b'daber. That teaches us the din that there's kefil over here. Now, these two brisas, they both agree. The kuli alma miyas, whether you learn it as you need pasuk vav and pasuk zayin to teach me the case of toin tainas ganav, or you only need pasuk zayin, like the second brisa, to teach us this din of toin tainas ganav that you pay kefil. But they all agree that in lo yimotzi ganav, that's with toin tainas ganav. Both the first brisa and the second brisa, they all dash in pasuk zayin in lo yimotzi ganav to teach us this din of toin tainas ganav, and they only argue about the first pasuk vav imimatzi ganav. The first brisa said that's also talking about toin tainas ganav, and the second brisa says that's talking about the real ganav, the one who was watching the pikadon really did not steal it. He didn't swear falsely, and the real ganav stole it. He'll pay kefil. Now, my mashma, how do you know this? That the second pasuk im lo yimotzi ganav, according to both brises, is talking about toin tainas ganav. So I'm a rava because the pasuk says im lo yimotzi kimo sheomar. The way we dash it is if lo yimotze, as he said, kimo sheomar. He said, oh, somebody stole it. But in fact, he was the one that stole it. So the second pasuk zayin, lo yimotze ganav, they both dash, and both prices dash that. Elishu atzmo ganav ginovo. He was the one who stole it himself. Then yishalim shnoim. So they all agree pasuk zayin is dashed that way. Uminolam the shvua. And how do you know, by the way, that it had to be with a shvua, that you don't pay kefil if you didn't make a shvua falsely? Because the pasuk says, keep on reading pasuk zayin. We read this already, the Tanya. V'nikra b'al habayis Elohim l'shvua. You have to go to the base. That Elohim, it's really a lashon chol, because Elohim here means the judges. So v'nikra b'al habayis Elohim, it means you go to the base and you swear falsely there that you didn't steal it, that someone else stole it, and you swore falsely. Then pasuk zayin in lo yimotzei ganav is talking about that it's not the way you said it. It's not that somebody else stole it. You stole it. So then that's toin tainas ganav. Both the first and second brisa all agree that that's the way to darshan it. Now, The Gemara questions this and says, "Mikra balabais el Elohim, is that really l'shvua? Atom l'shvua that he had to swear falsely? Maybe. Oh, ain't no el ladin. Maybe it means he just comes to the base then. He doesn't have to swear. He just says, listen, I was careful. I locked it up properly, and it was stolen. Sorry. And he doesn't have to swear. So Gemara says, no. Ne'amar shlichus yad lamata. In a later pasuk yud, it says shuas Hashem tia bein shteihem im lo shalach yudobim leches v'yehu v'lekach belov lo yishleim. They have to make a shvua in order to exempt themselves from the payment. So there in pasuk yud, it tells us shuas Hashem tia bein shteihem. It's talking about a shvua in pasuk yud, and that's talking about shlichus yad shuas Hashem tia bein shteihem im lo shalach yudobim leches v'yehu. So there, it's talking about a shvua. And furthermore, v'nemar shlichus yad l'mala in our pasuk. Pasuk Zayin, the end of the pasuk says, "Nikra balabais Elokim in lo shalach yado b'mleches reyehu." So we have over here the words shlichus yad, both in pasuk Yud and in pasuk Zayin. Therefore, malahalu and shvua, just like in pasuk Yud, it specifically says that it's a swearing. So too over here, afkan l'shvua. So that's how we both dashin, both prices clearly say that pasuk Zayin is teaching us his din of toin tainus ganav, and he swears falsely that you have to go and pay kefil. Now, the brises disagree. The first and second brises disagree, though, on how do you darshan pasuk vav imimotzi aganav. The first brise says it's also talking about toyin tainis ganav. The second brise says no, that's talking about the real ganav. The guy didn't swear falsely. There was a real ganav. So Gemara says bishlam leman diomar chad beganav v'chad betoyin tainis ganav. According to the second brise, so pasuk vav is teaching us the din of the real ganav betoyin tainis ganav, and there really was a ganav. And the second pasuk Zayin is teaching us betoyin tainis ganav, and he was the ganav. So Bishlam l'man d'yomer chad b'ganav v'chad b'toyin tanis ganav. Pasuk vav is the real ganav. Pasuk zayin is toyin tanis ganav. So then we understand haynu d'chsevei trei krat. That's why we need pasuk vav and pasuk zayin. But there's an obvious question here on the first price that it says both pasuk vav and pasuk zayin are teaching me the din of toyin tanis ganav. Why do we need to psukim? L'man d'yomer tavayu b'toyin tanis ganav. The first price that it says both pasuk vav and pasuk zayin are teaching me the same din of toyin tanis ganav. So trei krat lomeli. Leave out pasuk vav and just have pasuk zayin. Why do you need both psukim according to the first brisa? So Mari says, no, you need both psukim. Amrei, you need both psukim because chad lemute tainas avad. You also need to exclude from the din of kefel if the one who's watching the bikkudin said it was lost. Remember, we had in the Mishnah on Kuf Ches Omud Beis, there we had said that if you were toein tainas avad, so then you do not pay kefil. So therefore, the first brisa that says you need both psukim to teach me the din of toyin tainis ganav, so one is to teach me the basic din of toyin tainis ganav that you pay kefil, and the other one is to teach me that it's only for toyin tainis ganav, but not for toyin tainis avad. Toyin tainis avad, you don't pay kefil, like the Mishnah on Kuf Ches Omud Beis. Nudig Mori says, so now how does the second brisa learn that then? The second brisa that said pasuk vav is needed to teach us the din of the real ganav, and the pasuk zayin is teaching us the din of toyin tainis ganav. So now, how do they learn out that you don't pay for toyin tainis avad, you don't pay kefel? What does the second brisa do with that? Delo miyata, because they don't have an extra words over here like the first brisa. The first brisa has extra, so therefore they can use it to darshan this din of not toyin tainas avad. But the second brisa, which doesn't have extra words, it needs one to teach me the din of ganav and one to teach me the din of toyin tainas ganav, so they don't have an extra pasuk. Delo miyater lemute tainas avad minolu. How do they know that you don't pay kefil for tainas avad? So the second brisa would learn it as follows. The pasuk doesn't say ganav, it says haganav. It says imlo yimotze haganav. So the extra hey is the way the second brisa would darshan the din of kefil only by toein tainas ganav, but not toein tainas avad. Nope, we throw it back to the first brisa. What do you do with the extra hay? Ulaman diyomer tavayu b'toein tainas ganav. The first brisa that learns both of them, the pasuk vav and pasuk zayin for toein tainas ganav, and uses one to teach us toein tainas avad. So demiet le toein tainas avad. So what do they do with the extra hay in the word haganav? They don't need it. They already have all their drushes. So what do they need the word hay in haganav to teach us? My Dorish Lay. So Gemara says, the first brisa would say, Amaloch, Miboy Leilcha Rechia Bar Abba Amr Yochanan. From the statement that Rechia Bar Abba said named Yochanan, what was that? The Rechia Bar Abba Amr Yochanan had toein tainas ganav bipikadon mishalim tashlumei kefel. And Tovachu Machar Mishalim Teshlumei Abba Chamisha. It comes to add on the din that we had previously from Ruchia Barab and Nimr of Yochanan. learn that not only do you pay kefel if you're toying tainus ganav, but if you then did tvicha or mechira, you did the slaughtering or the selling of the animal, so you took this because it was an animal, and you claimed that someone stole it, but you really stole it yourself. So then you chayv kefel. But how do we know that if you then sold it or you shechted it, that you chayv dal v'hei? Oh, ha, ganav, the hay comes to teach us that. So that's what the first brisa does with the extra hay. Well, we throw it back on the second brisa. The second brisa uses pasuk vav to teach us the real ganav, and pasuk zayin to teach us toyin tanis ganav, and therefore uses the hay from ha ganav. Go and teach us that you don't pay kefil for time, that's all that. So according to that, man, the Yom, the second brisa, the high ganav. He already used the hay of Haganov to teach us the din of Torah and Tanis, all that you don't pay. So then, how does the second brisa learn out this din of Rav Chiya bar Abba? How does the second brisa learn out this din that you're also chayef for Tovach Umachar the Dalid the hay? So Amalei, he says, the second brisa say this hekeshu, it's a hekish over here. The ain meshivan al hekesha. You don't ever question a hekish. Once you have a hekish. So the din is that all the dinim run through, even if there's a pircha. And the hekish is pasuk vav and pasuk zayin. They're both next to each other. So what's good for pasuk vav is also going to be good for pasuk zayin. It's a hekish, and you don't ask any questions on a hekish. So just like the real ganav, if he steals it and then he sells it or he shechs it, he has to pay dalav hay. That's pasuk vav. So too, the hekish teaches us the pasuk zayin that if he's ta'an tanas ganav, so he has to go and pay kefel. And if he sells it or he shechs it, then he'll also have to pay dalav hay, just like the real ganav. The hekish is the way the second brisa goes and explains how we know that there's a din of dalav hay by ta'an tanas ganav. Moritz still is not happy. He says, Bishlom l'man d'yomer echad b'ganav, echad b'toyin tainas ganav, shapir. Okay, so now the second brisa, which darshan's pasuk vav for the real ganav, pasuk zayin for the ta'an tanas ganav, and uses the hekish over here to teach us this din, that you have dalav v'hei, so everything works out very well according to that brisa. But the first brisa, elo d'yom l'man d'yomer tarvayi b'toyin tainas ganav, the first brisa which explained both pasuk vav and pasuk zayin needed to teach us ta'an tanas ganav. And the reason why it's mentioned twice is because we exclude ta'an tainas avad. And the reason why it says ha ganav is to teach us dalav v'hei. So in that situation, ganav atzmo minole. So they don't have a pasuk to teach me that a regular ganav has to pay kefel. Now, v'chi tema leisi b'kal v'chomer mitoyin tainas ganav. So say, let's learn out from kal v'chomer. If the guy that's toyin tainas ganav, the watcher of this pikadon, if he has to pay kefel, so certainly the guy who stole it, a real thievery, here he was given to him to watch, and then he stole it. But if he has to pay kefil and dalav hay, then certainly, let's learn it out from a kal v'chomer, that if somebody is a real ganav, they certainly should have to pay kefil and dalav hay. So Gemara says, you can't use that kal v'chomer. Dayo lovu min adin lios kenidon. Malahalim b'shvua, avkan l'shvua. In our case of toyin tanis ganav, we said that you have to make a false shvua in order to be chayv the kefil or the dalav hay, if you went then subsequently and shechted it or sold it. But a real ganav, he doesn't have to make any shvua. He's caught red-handed. He has to pay kefil and dalav v'hei, just by being caught. So therefore, there's no shvua. So you can't learn it out from this kal v'chomer. So where does the first brisa learn out the basic thing that a ganav has to pay kefil? So Gemara says, nafka lei mi the ton of the chizkia. They learn it from that which they taught in the base medrash of chizkia. What was that? The ton of the chizkia learned the pasuk from, in the base medrash of chizkia, the pasuk says, im hi motzei si motzei biyodo hagnefo, mishor ad chamor ad se chayim shnayim yishalim. The pasuk says so. Yomar shor ugineva v'kol bichlal. Why do I need to say all the other things that the pasuk tells me? Im hi motzei motzei v'yodo hagnefo mishor ad chamor ad se chayim. Why don't you just tell me mishor? What do I need? Shor, chamor, and se. So Gemara says, ilu kacha yisyome. If you just had written the word shor, so I would have said ma prat meforish. I would have said, and we've had this type of drasha already several times in recent days and early in the Masechta. If it had just said shar, I would have said it means something that's kariv on the Mizbeach. So that would include goats, sheep, and cows. So, I've called kariv l'gabi Mizbeach only, but not other animals. So, ma yeshcho lohavi. So then why does the pasuk have to tell me seh? So what's the pasuk telling me seh? That comes to teach us, and we turn to samach talud m'ralav. Kishu omer seh, hare seh omer. It's already included because of shor. So what is the purpose of telling me seh in the pasuk? So that comes to include other things as well, not just things that are makrav on the mizbeach. And then it said, im himotzei simotzei hagneva v'yado. So what do we do with the word hagneva? So that comes to be marbe ha'ama ani mekayim gneva. L'rabos kol dover. That comes to be marbe everything else. That is not only a shor or a seh, but something that is metaltali, like we brought down previously, and it has gufo mamon. So that's why it has to teach us over here. Mishor yachamor atzeh chayim shnayim mishalem. So that's what you need it for. The rabbis called dover. No, so the pasuk should have just said yomar shor seh ugneva vakol bichlal. So then it would teach us everything. Why did it have to also mention chamor? So ilu kachu yisyomer. If it had written as you had said, just shor seh and gneva, I would have said ma prat mefurish dover hakadosh bibechora. I would have said it's something that has the din of bechor. I've called dover hakadosh bibechora. So that I would know anyway. So why does that have to tell me chamor, which is also a din of bechor, peterechem chamor? So ma yesh lechol lohavi chamor, kishomer chamor, when it uses the word chamor, hare chamor omer. We already knew the din of chamor by bechor, because we learned it out from the kosher animals. So ha'amani makayim gineva. So then therefore, what do we need the word gineva for if we already know this? L'rabos called over. That comes to be marbe everything as well. Not only things that have kedushas v'chor, l'rabos kol dover. Nu yomar shor v'chamor se ugneva v'kol michlal. So then everything would be included. How come it has to tell us ad se chayim? Right, the pasuk says yimasev yadoh ugneva mishor ad chamor ad se chayim. What does the word chayim in the pasuk come to be marve? So ilukach yishomer. If you'd only told me the things shor chamor and seh, without telling me chayim, I would have said ma prat mefurish bali chayim. I would have said it only comes to include bali chayim. So avko bali chayim are included. So ma yesh kol havi shar bali chayim. So how do you know other animals? Shomer chayim hari omer. It's already teaching me all the other animals without the word chayim. Why does it say seh chayim? Hamani mekayim gineva. So what do we need this for? All these words for l'rabos kol davar. It comes to teach us anything. As long as it is metatli and it has gufo mamon, so then that includes things even that aren't alive, even inanimate objects. And this brisa of Chizkiah is how we learn out the din of kefel. Even according to our first brisa, which didn't have a free pasuk to teach us the regular din of ganav, because it used both pasuk vav and pasuk zayin to teach us ta'an tanis ganav. So this is pasuk. This later pasuk. That's how they would learn it out. This drasha from the Tanit Vechizkia is how this first brisa learns out the regular din of Ganav to teach us Kefel. Okay, a lot of drushes today. It may have been a little bit of a difficult shiur to follow. I hope it was clear. Yitzhak Hashem, we'll pick up over here tomorrow. We discuss more this brisa from Chizkia. Have a wonderful day.